painting hanging in the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam of a slumped over, weary-looking man whose sorrowful expression tells a story of defeat. Escaping to the hills, he overlooks chaos in the distance. His city is engulfed in flames. His king has been blinded by the soldiers of an invading army. And his people, those who survived the attack, are being forced into exile. The reluctant prophet Jeremiah, whose song of lament we heard in the Old Testament reading this morning, is the subject of Rembrandt's masterpiece. Jeremiah laments the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah felt called at a very young age by God to speak a prophetic message to the people of Jerusalem. Change your ways, turn around, or face disaster. Repent, he warned, which literally means turn around and go the other way. As the story goes, he resisted. But he somehow found courage to trust that God would not abandon him in the task. Despite the instinct to save himself from certain embarrassment, Jeremiah said that God's message burned like fire shut up in his bones. Holding it in, he said, was just as difficult as letting it out. So at a great cost to himself, he stayed true to his calling, taking up his cross long before Jesus implored disciples like you and me to do the same and bear the suffering for the sake of our neighbors, all in the name of hope. Jeremiah's country was headed in the wrong direction. Instead of God's truth of love and equality, Israelite society worshiped its own brand of wisdom. Instead of providing for the least among them, they worshiped the accumulation of wealth by a privileged few. Instead of abiding by Moses' commandments, they worshiped their own systems, which pushed the poor, the sick, and the immigrant to the margins of society. Ironically, their wrongly ordered society left the whole of them vulnerable. Eventually, they would be forced into exile by the invading Babylonians. Repent, Jeremiah warned, turn around and go the other way. I wonder, does any of this story sound familiar to you? Not because you've heard this particular story before, but maybe because you can see yourself in Rembrandt's painting, the depiction of Jeremiah, weary, defeated, and full of lament. Could the city engulfed in flames that Jeremiah overlooks be a metaphor for our own society, which also relies on its own version of truth, worships wealth, and fails protect the most vulnerable among us? Or is the city in flames symbolic of a more personal disaster for you, which could be alleviated or even avoided if you listen to your inner voice, the whisper of God beckoning you in a different direction? Perhaps you too feel compelled by faith to help our society turn itself around. Or perhaps you feel called to change your own life's trajectory. You may feel overwhelmed or underqualified for the task, but when we find the courage to accept God's call like Jeremiah did, we too become disruptors of the status quo, agents of change, and bearers of hope. Jeremiah's ideas and behavior were considered radical at the time. He advocated for a thorough social change, using strange but symbolic gestures to get people's attention. For example, he once smashed a clay jar in front of the city's leaders to illustrate that Jerusalem too would be shattered in time. His odd behavior was purposefully extreme. Radical disruptions like his momentarily stop the flow of destructive words and government practices, offering people a chance to turn around and reorient themselves to God, the constant source of love and grace available to all of us. I recently attended a conference for faith leaders called the Summit for Change, hosted by Reverend Jim Wallace of Sojourners, where an interesting question was posed. What does radical disruption look like today in our context? It probably doesn't look like smashing pots in front of our leaders, but it starts in the same spirit, protesting the status quo, declaring Black Lives Matter, challenging our own implicit gender and racial biases, acknowledging white privilege, standing with the marginalized, people of color, immigrants, and the LGBTQ community. And on a personal level, radical disruption means turning around from the destructive thoughts and behavior that undervalue your inherent human worth. It means accepting that you, as a member of the human family, are deserving of God's love. Repent, turn around, and go the other direction. Jeremiah was radical in another way, too. At the conference, I was reminded that radical means being rooted. The word comes from the Latin radicalis, which means of or having roots, like a radish. In the late Middle Ages, radical meant going to the origin or the root or the essence of a thing. Jeremiah's core message was just that, a redirection, a return to God. He was a true radical in both senses of the word. But here's a more complicated question for us. What would it look like for us to be radical disruptors in the name of God? To unashamedly take up our cross by standing up as people of faith, affirming the inherent worth of every human being on the planet as a beloved child of God who bears the image of the divine. As progressive Christians, we often shy away from labeling ourselves as such because we're afraid that we'll be confused with others who oppress in the name of faith. We're reluctant, like Jeremiah, and we claim, I can't do that. But what would it look like to be brave, like Jeremiah, and radically disrupt that line of thinking too? Let's not forget that the scripture we heard this morning was a song of lament. One of many sad songs Jeremiah sang on behalf of his country and also for himself. Being a radical disruptor isn't easy. Jeremiah's song revealed his very real and very human struggle with his faith. Scholars consider his complaint that we heard this morning the most blasphemous in the whole Bible. For he accuses God of deceit and asks why he was put in the position to become a laughingstock, the subject of mockery, even when Jerusalem would be destroyed. Jeremiah even blames God for his suffering. His radical disruptions have been reduced to street theater, and he wishes retribution on those who mock him. Being a person of faith doesn't mean that without God, or that will never suffer for God, or that will never wish vengeance on those who would mock us. But here's the thing about Jeremiah. He practiced what he preached. When he felt lost, as difficult as it was, he too turned himself around and reoriented toward God, if even for a moment. You might remember that in the midst of his serious and mournful lament, blasting God in no uncertain terms, he changed his tune to one of praise. He sang, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers." Repent, turn around, and return to God. Despite his anger and doubt, there remains a stubborn undercurrent of hope in Jeremiah from which he draws his strength. Even as it became clear that Jerusalem would fall, he challenged the Israelites to find hope too. Jeremiah radically disrupted the looming despair by purchasing a field in Jerusalem as a gesture of hope that someday they'd return and rebuild. Friends, there is much to lament in our country today. Millions of people are at risk of losing their fundamental human right to health care as we sit here today. But let us not lose sight of hope. As people of faith, may we find the courage to take up the cross as Jesus implores us as his disciples. To suffer on behalf of our neighbors as radical disruptors of an unjust system that favors the rich and marginalizes the poor. May we take a page from Jeremiah's book and write it into our own story, remembering that being radical means repentance, unashamedly changing direction, and returning to God. Friends, there's good news. God does not abandon us in this struggle. Instead, he puts his hands to our mouths and gives us the words to say. God shines a light in the darkness and beckons us to follow. Amen.